Chapter 119, Psalm. The longest chapter in the entire Bible. All but four verses speak of the Word of God. The Word of God is so important that right in the very heart of the Bible you'll find Psalm 119. And not only in the heart of the Bible, but in the heart of the chapter itself, it talks about God's Word, every single verse. The longest chapter in the Bible talks all about the Word of God, how important it is, what it does, what it means to David, to God, to us. Amen. And we're just going to look at something because in these last days, in these end times that we are really in, the Bible talks about a great falling away. Talks about people falling away from the faith. Have you noticed anybody falling away from the faith? Well, let not that be any of us. Amen. But as we know, it could be. You never know what tomorrow may bring. That's why we have an anchor to our soul. The anchor is Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you don't have your anchor down in the solid rock, you can drift away. You can wander away. You can fall away. You can backslide. The thing is that's what we don't want to do. In the last days, the Bible talks about men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. We see people care more about wanting to murder a little baby in the womb than they do about anything else. It's this, you know, wonderful, great news about Roe versus Wade, but that's nothing. That's not going to stop abortion. It's a start, and that's a great thing. Amen. But let's not get started and stop. We need to keep moving forward. Amen. We need to keep on going. We got to take this country back. Amen. By taking our country back, we take our lives, because as the country goes, our freedom goes, and as our freedom goes, our family goes, and as our family goes, goes the world. Amen. Goes the church. Psalm 119. I'm going to look at a few things. A great verse here. Psalm 119, starting in verse 18. If you're all there, say amen. Amen. Psalm 119, 18 says, "Open thou mine eyes." Can we all say that this morning? Ask God. Say, "Open my eyes, God." Ready? "Open thou my eyes, God." I want to be able to see the things that God wants me to see. Amen. We miss so many things that God tries to speak to us. We don't hear them because the Bible tells us that the Word of God, God's voice is a still, small voice. It's not in the thunder, and it's not in the lightning, it's not in the fire and brimstone. His Word speaks to the heart of man. And if the Word speaks to the heart of man, then man's heart has to be listening. Can I get an amen? We have to realize these things because we need to hear from God. We need to hear the Word of God. And that's why David right here says, "Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law," out of the Word of God. And that's what I want all of us here in Sunday school. Thank you so much for being faithful. Being in Sunday school is so important. I wish more and more people would realize it, more people with children. I totally understand more than anybody how hard it is getting kids ready. Getting everybody else, getting your wife ready is hard enough. You know, not all wise, just some of you, some wise, not all wise. But some wives, it just takes them longer to get ready. It's just the way it is. You know, in the history of time, the husband's in the car waiting like, "Are you ready yet?" You know. But to do that and have a couple, three, four children get ready, I understand. But where their children need to be more than anything is in Sunday school. The children will not learn the things that they'll learn in the world or in school unless they're in Sunday school. So we need to pray about that. "Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." I want us to not only see today, I want us to hear from God today. Amen. So let's just look at, you know, I was supposed to sing the song. You know that song, "Prone to Wander, Lord, I Feel It"? "Come Thou Fount," is that what it is? "Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise." I forget the verse. What's it say? Molly, you would know better. "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." The songwriter, David, every single person in the Bible had a fear of wandering heart, leaving God away. Not leaving him totally behind, but just leaving his presence, leaving his closeness. And that happened so much. And David was not any different than that. Look in verse 9 with me. Verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How are we going to clean up our hearts and clean our minds and clean our spirits? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How are we going to straighten our lives out? If you're starting to wander, you're prone to wander, we just all are. And if you start to wander, God tells us, how are we going to do it? How are we going to get back? Start the word of God. Just get into the word of God. It'll start to clean you. Look in verse 10. Verse 10 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. You know, the Bible is very serious about this, and we need to be serious about it as well, that the Bible says God doesn't look on the outward appearance as man looks. He looks on the inward. And people say amen, Tony. Like, I'm glad he does, right? That's where the real you is, in your heart, deep in your heart. And God says, God sees what you really, that's why David said, with my whole heart, God, I've sought you. He's seeking God. And then there's many other verses that say, seek the Lord while he may be found. And it says, God says, you shall find me when you seek for me with all your heart. So, you know, when we drift away and we really are crying out looking for God, the real child of God, the real believer in the Lord, the real saved person, the real child of the Most High God has a yearning for their Father, for their Lord, has a yearning. Yes, we may wander, we may fall away, but that yearning is always going to want to bring us back. But it's not as easy as you think sometimes. There's a way. First, we have to get into the Word of God and start letting it cleanse our minds, cleanse our hearts. Because a dirty heart can't seek God with its whole being. You need a heart that's clean so we can seek God. That's why with my whole heart, in all reality, we can say we want to seek God, but our hearts are kind of filled with the worldliness and things that have caused us to draw away. Can I get an amen? So we need to do that. But look what it says. And what it says in verse 10, it says, with my whole heart I have sought thee. Let me not, what? Wander from thy commandments. How does one wander away from God? Look with me in Proverbs 26. We're going to go back to Psalms, so keep your finger there. But in Proverbs 26, there's a good verse. I want you to know it. In Proverbs 26, say amen when you're there. You all there? In verse 2, Proverbs 26, verse 2, it says, as a bird by wandering. You see that? As a swallow, that's a bird, by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. As a bird by wandering, a swallow. You know what swallows are famous for? Flying. Long distances. You know what birds do all the time? They wander around. You ever see a bird? They're wandering around, flying over here, they're walking over there. That's what birds do. So what is God saying? He says, as the bird wanders and as the swallow by flying, so the curse upon man does not come causeless. Meaning, what you do naturally, as a bird just wanders naturally, as a swallow just flies naturally, as a man and woman, we just wander from God naturally. That's our nature. Our nature is to seek out things that we want, things that we desire, things that interest us. It's just our nature. Do you understand that? Doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It just tells you that who you really are. And if you realize who you really are, Joe, that your heart is prone to wander, and you realize in my physical nature, I'm just not going to want to seek the things of God as much, and I'm going to wander away. Pretty soon you're going to find yourself lost in the woods, and you're like, how did I get here? You know, how am I getting, man, it takes you a long time to get back. But just, I want you to realize, how do you wander? By just doing what's natural. And that's why the Bible talks about the natural man and the spiritual man. The carnal man and the spiritual man. So we have to realize this stuff. Look, if you would, with me in, let me see, I'm going to go, I don't even know what this verse says. I wrote it down. Look in Malachi 2. Malachi 2. And I'm going to find out what it says, just like you. It's just like a little jot I have down there. And I don't even know what it says. Look in verse 2, Malachi 2:2. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. It says, if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yeah? I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. We wonder as Christians, why are our blessings seem to be drying up? Why is our joy drying up? Why is the peace that God promises that one time we had drying up? God curses the blessings. Why? Because we've been wandering from it. And he does it for a reason. The reason God does it is not to hurt us, but to help us. Because all of us are, we're all the same. And I don't know, but some are just, you know, some are more stiff-necked than others. Some are more stubborn than others. Can I get an amen? As a man, I needed a whooping. Girls, I don't think need whoopings, whatever you want to call them, spankings. Some do, but I know, like my daughter, Kristen, I gave her one her whole life, never needed to give her another one. Gave her one, just knowing she didn't think I would do it, and then I gave her a whooping, and after that, I never had to give her one again. Kira and Riley have never had a spanking. Not because I didn't raise them all. I've been raising them now. They've never, but will I give them one? They know I will. You know what I mean? But I don't have to. But as boys, as me, I needed one. Anton, were you like that? I needed one. I needed a whooping. I need to feel that pain to get me to straighten up. And I was reading these articles about spanking and how many people think spanking is evil. You know, they think it's, oh, you're a devil if you spank your child. Well, what does God say about spanking your child? He, spare the rod, you spoil the child. I love the verse where he says, beat your child. See, we take it over to beat them. No, it's not about spanking. A real one where you're hurting, where you can't sit down. Amen. You know, you got to apply the rod of learning to the seat of correction. Amen. And it says, beat your child. He will not die, but you'll save his soul from hell. So God is all about chastising us, spanking us. Get what for, Tony? To get our attention so that we can turn back to him, so that he can continue to bless us and help us. All of us need God. Can I get an amen? We don't just need him to save our souls as he has. We need him every day. I do. I don't know about you. I need God every day. This world will suck the joy right out of you. Amen? It'll stress you out, freak you out, mess you up. Amen? But when you're close to God, those things don't. So that's why he says that I'm going to, if because your heart. Now go back with me to Psalm. And as you're going back there, I should have told you, we're going to stop, make a little pit stop at Proverbs again. Proverbs chapter 21. And then Proverbs 27. Let me know when you're in Proverbs 21, please. Proverbs 21, look with me in verse 16. It says, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. The man that wanders out of the way of understanding. God knows exactly what he wants for each and every one of us. God does. The Bible says God orders our steps. God leads us down the paths of righteousness for him, for his name's sake. God has led us and many of us to this local church. He's led us to this congregation. He's led us to this flock. For what purpose and what reason is of God? He wants to teach. He wants to reach. He wants to motivate. He wants to consecrate. He wants to do so many things in our lives. Amen? And all of it is for his honor and glory. So many people come in and they wander out of that way of understanding because of their own heart. They don't like the music, or they don't like the loud pastor, or they don't like something in the church, or they don't like so-and-so. And they wander out where God put them. I'm not talking about where they wandered in. I mean God directed them here. And they wander out. And then they go church hopping, looking, and you see them in 5 years, and they're still in the congregation of the dead. They have no life in them. And I'm not talking about losing their salvation. I'm talking about losing the things and the blessings of God. But a man that wanders out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. And that's a sad thing. Look at me in Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, verse 8. Says, as a bird by wandering from her nest, so is a man that wanders from his place. See, like I told you about the other verse, the birds just wander around. That's what they do. They do it just naturally. That's what they do. And if you just do what comes naturally, you're going to wander from the place where God has you. Amen? So what we go, that's the same phone that was ringing earlier. I don't know whose is it? It's not mine. Mine doesn't have that ring. It's Tony. See what I mean? No. Amen. I just want to know who is calling her during church. Like, hello, don't you know that she's been in church for 30 years every day? I mean, every Sunday at 10 o'clock? Like, who doesn't know that? If it's spam, we should all answer it. Amen, amen. All right, back to the message. It says in verse 8, as a bird that wanders from a nest, so is a man that wanders from his place. I don't want any of us to wander from the place where God has put us. I'm not saying that because it's our church, because that's where God wants you to plant so you can produce fruit, so you can be and do the things that God wants you to be and do. Yes, ma'am. No. No, it would not have nothing to do with birds of prey, but it does have to do with birds getting eaten by birds of prey, because when they wander around, they're far from their nest and they get eaten up. But no, he's just talking about as a bird wanders and a man wanders from his place. Let's look with me, please, if you would, in John 15. I want to ask you, so what is your place? Like, really, where is our place that we have to realize where our place is? Place in this world, place in our lives? You know, so many people, when we got married, if you've ever been married, when you got married, you said a vow. You know, you have a place. And if you're a husband today, if you're a wife today, you have a place in that marriage. And you have a purpose in that marriage. And you don't need to know. And because what happens is we wander away from where we're supposed to be. We wander away from our place. And when you wander away from your place, you end up missing out on everything that God had for you. But in John chapter 15, we're going to read. So I have the question. So where is your place? And just so you can know right from Bible, look in John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 down. You ready? It says, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, what's he do? He takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, what's he do? He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. We can learn a lot from that. And he even says, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Remember Anton, we just read, says, how did I clean in my way? By the word of God. Jesus said, now you're clean. You're like, what? How am I clean? He said, because he's telling you that your place is in him. He's the vine. And you're the branch. Amen? Your place is in Christ. That's where you got to be, stay in, get fixed in. You got to realize your place. Because when you stop forgetting your place, or you just stop thinking about it, you start to get out of place. Amen? And when you're out of place, you're not in Christ. You're not producing the fruit. And if you don't go so long without producing the fruit, God just says, okay, I'll give you what you want. Cast you off. And then he says, but I am in my place. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And I'm doing right. God, what's God do? He purges you. And you wonder, I'm sitting in church and I'm doing this and I'm doing the right things. You know what I mean? Why is my life hurting? And he says he's purging you. Things he's cutting back in your life. Why would he do that? So that you can be more fruitful. Amen. And that's why we have to trust God. Look what it says in verse 4. It says, abide in me. That's our place. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, say it, church, you can do nothing. See, that abiding doesn't come from just being in this building. The abiding comes from our hearts, searching for him with all our hearts, like David said. God looks in our hearts to see how we really desire him. On Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, on Sunday nights and Sunday mornings, and when you're at work, you got to have that heart that wants to abide in him, calling out to him, desiring him. God, open my eyes. Let me see where I'm going wrong. God, let me hear your voice. Let me know I need you, Lord. I don't know why people don't have that feeling, because when you don't have that feeling, you just wander away and you don't even know you're away. You don't even realize you're getting farther and farther from your place in Christ to produce the fruit of God. Is everything right? Can someone go jump Shana's car? Her car won't start. That was her calling, wanting to come to church. Can someone go over and jump her car 7 minutes away in Brookhaven? Does she have cables? Anton, you got it? Give her the address, Tom. Pam, give him the address. She only lives 7 minutes away, so it's not far. Amen. To the rescue. Amen. I like it. We're better than AAA. Amen. All right, so what I'm going to just say, keep reading in the same chapter. It says in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and he's withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and in my words in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. See, that's really what it's all about. When we start losing love for Christ, we start losing that love affair, that's when you start wandering away. And all of us, it happens to all of us. And we just have to realize it. So we can hear it, and God can show us, and we can see it, and we can, honestly, it should scare us. It's like a little child that finds himself away from his mommy or his daddy in a crowd, and you realize, where'd they go? And you get that rush of fear. Oh no, where are they? Mommy, daddy, you know what I mean? And we don't have to look for them with this, but with our heart. You shall find me when you seek for me with all your heart. It should bother us that we're not so close to God. It should bother us. But sometimes you've wandered so far that you're not bothered anymore. And that's a scary thing. And we'll finish reading on this. It says in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. See, the reason God wants us to have a close relationship with him, so we can be full of joy. Joy is an amazing thing. You can't buy it at Walmart. You can't order it on Amazon. Money can buy you some happiness, amen, but not the joy that what's in your heart, no matter what. It's a very important thing. I want you to go back to Psalm 119 with me, please, and look at a couple verses. So how does God get our attention? How does God get us to come back to him? How does it happen? And I'm going to show you, and I hope you hear it. It's very simple, but in Psalm 119, are you there? In verse 21, it says, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from the commandments. Now, we just read two verses where God says that I have cursed your blessings. It doesn't mean you're cursed like going to hell. See, when you're either blessed or you're cursed. You're either right or you're wrong. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's really simple with God. It's not like all this, well, you know, what about what? You're either in or you're out. You either love him or you don't. Let's just get real. Amen? And you can be saved and not love the Lord at that moment, at that time in your life. Can I get an amen? Amen. We've all been married where there's probably certain times we weren't totally in love with our spouse. You know what I mean? Because of whatever reason. You're like, oh man, I can't believe. You know, that doesn't mean that you don't love them later. It doesn't mean that you know, I'm just saying, when you're talking about a relationship with God who's a spirit, those that worship him and those that serve him and those that love him and those that abide in him have to abide in him in your heart, in your spirit. Amen? It's a spiritual connection that we have. And this whole world is against your spirit, attacking your spirit, getting your spirit, your eyes over here, your thoughts over there, your stress over here. You know how it is. Amen? So what do we got? We got to realize and go, what am I doing? And focus and get back in the Word of God and get on our knees and cry out to God. We have to do that. Look with me if you would in Psalm 119 verse 50. This is how God does it. It says, this is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word has quickened me. Thy word has made me alive again. Thy word has made me feel again. Look in Psalm 119. We're going to stay in that chapter. Look in 67. It says, before I was afflicted, what happened? I went astray. But now I've kept thy word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So what happens when we wander away, Tony? What happens when we start to drift away? No one else can see it. God sees it. And most of the time, we don't see it. So what God does to get our attention is he afflicts us. Things in our lives start to break down. Sufferings, depressions, pains, whatever you want to call it, in your afflictions. And all of it is so that we can open our eyes and behold mighty, great and mighty things. Amen. That we can see, God, I've drifted away. And we can go back to Him. Look what it says in verse 71. It says, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes, and I might learn the word of God. It's good for me that I've been afflicted. You see, Tony, when you afflict an unsaved person, it makes them run away from God. When you have a child, or in this case, I'm just going to say, even a dog. A dog builds a bond with its owner, should. If you don't have a bond with your dog, then you don't know how to have dogs. Dogs are so loyal. They will bond with you, and they will go into a fire. They'll do anything for you. And so you build a bond with them. Many dog owners never build a bond with them. Well, a parent has to build bonds with their children, right, Molly? Parents need to build bonds with their children. And Molly, coming from seven children, the parents, and I know them deeply, greatly, some of my best friends in the whole world, they spent time with each and every one to build bonds. It wasn't like, oh, well, you don't matter, but this one matters. And they spent so much time building a relationship with each child. And I've seen what it's did in the fruit of that family. But I had a dog, Bear Bear. His name was Bear. I just called him Bear Bear. It was a girl. Anyway, and that dog had such a bond with me that when I got mad, the other dogs would run. And when I get mad, I'm loud. And I have an authoritative voice. And people get scared, you know. And dogs run. She wouldn't run. When, if somebody peed on the floor and there's three dogs, I'm like, what? Hoop! And all of a sudden those dogs, oh, they're gone. Bear Bear would stare at me and just come straight up to me. And when I'm angry and I'm mad, and she just would stare at me like, whatever you want, Dad, I'm there. You know what I mean? Like it was a bond. And it was so amazing to me that I could never get mad at her because the other ones would run. And I'd like, oh, you're guilty. The other, even if she was guilty, she would come forth. That, the reason I said that, it says, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. It's good for me when I know that God is afflicting me, because that's when I don't run away from God. God's children run to God. God's real children, real born children, they know God's good. They know His kindness. They know His mercy, but they also know His wrath. Amen. So they come to Him like my dog did, like said, whatever you want to deal out to me, I'll take it because I trust in you. You know what I mean? It's like a bond, like, wow. And that's what God wants. When we're afflicted, we need to run to Him and know, God, whatever you need to do to me. One of the hardest prayers I ever had for our children was, Lord, whatever it takes to get their heart. See, as a parent, you don't want your children to go through hard times. As a parent, you don't want your children to go into jail. As a parent, you don't want your children to get end up in the hospital. But if you really want their souls to be saved, you got to pray, whatever it takes, Lord. Because you can't say, Lord, I saved my son, saved my daughter, but, you know, don't let her go through any hard times. Or don't let them go to jail. Or whatever you do, don't give them any disease. You know what I mean? Because we want to have it this way and have our cake and eat it too. And God says, are you willing to let me do whatever it is that I've got to do to get a hold of that person's heart? Because each and every person is different, Joe. One person needs this, another person needs that. And we don't know, but God does. And when people are far from Him in drugs and alcohol and sin and degradation, God's got to get a hold of them. And it's not going to be like, oh, hello, could you come back? And it's serious stuff. And that, so let God do what God does. Look in verse 75. Verse 75 says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. See, He loves us. He's only doing it to get us back to Him. Amen? Amen. God is so good. Look at 92, verse 92. Verse 92, it says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in my affliction. I would have perished in my affliction. But something inside of me knew that the word of God was true. I needed to repent. I needed to get right. The word of God, unless the word of God, the law had been my delights, I should have then perished in my afflictions. Look in verse 102. Verse 102 says, I have not departed from thy judgments, For you have taught me. Taught me. Look in verse 107. It says, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. You know the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the next? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus in the garden, he didn't want to drink that cup. He didn't want to be separated from his Father. He didn't want that to become sin for us. He didn't want your sin in him. And he prayed, Lord, if there's any other way. Stressed out, drops of blood coming from him. He said, but Lord, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, thy will. And we've got to get to that point where we really mean it. Not my will, Lord. Whatever you need to happen in my life to turn my heart back, so let it be. And then when it happens, know that it's God doing it for the purpose and the reason to turn us back. Look in Isaiah 43 and we'll finish. Why should we turn back? Why should we all this? Isaiah 43, let me know when you're there. Isaiah 43, y'all there? Why we should never wander from God. Look what it says. It says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. You're mine. That's us. He has created you. He has formed you. He has redeemed you. And he's called you by your own name. Verse 2. When thou passest through the water, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord your God, thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for a ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. So I'm saying in verse 2, it says, when you go through the waters, when you the waters seem like you're going to drown in your problems, when you go through the fire, he's not saying you're not going to go. He says, when you do, I'm going to be with you through it all. You're not going to be destroyed. The reason you're going through it is my purpose, because I see what you need. Amen? But I'm going to be with you. It says in verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. I have loved you. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Isn't it great to know no matter how far you wander, God's going to call you back when you want them? Isn't it great to know how far away you go? You can be the ends of the earth. You can be in Egypt, in the world. You can be in sin, in Sodom. It doesn't matter how far away you go. You know that God said, I will tell the north, let him go. I will tell the sin, let go. And I will draw everyone back to him. Man, what a wonderful God. Why? I created you. I formed you. I redeemed you. I love you. It's because God loves us. Amen. That's awesome to me. Look what he says in verse 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed. Verse 6. I will say to the north, give it up. Verse 7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yeah, I have made him. Every single thing that a child of God goes through, and a lot of it's bad. A lot of it's trouble. It's all for our learning. It's all for our good. It's all to get us closer to God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's pray. Almighty God and Father, Lord, I pray that we could all understand. I pray that you would open our eyes that we could see. I pray you'd open our ears that we could hear your small voice speak to us today. Lord, as someone who was raised without a father, it is such an honor to know that I had one all along. It is such an honor to know that I can call you Father, that we all have a Father who loves us. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy that is found in your Son, Jesus, who is the expressed image of you, Father. You are in him. He's in you. He loved us. He showed us the way. He showed us the truth. He showed us our life, our purpose. I pray that we could abide in Jesus, that we could call upon him, that we can seek his face, that he would come to our rescue, wash us in the word of God, fill us with the spirit of the living God, give unto us the life and help us to be fruitful. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the afflictions that we have gone through or may be going through or maybe will go through, that we can know now by the word of God that it's for our good and for your glory. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Church will start in 8 minutes. Thank you very much.